cliffcentral.com.
At Sibanye, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. We are proud of our partnership with the Leadership Platform and will continue to support leaders who are committed to growing our country.
Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Welcome to the Leadership Platform, multiplying authentic leaders, moving society. For all things leadership, go to www.leadershipplatform.com. That is double P in the middle at leadershipplatform.com. The show is every Monday from 12 to 1 p.m. It is the Leadership Masterclass on cliffcentral.com. This Leadership Masterclass is brought to you by Sibanye, We Are One. Today we are at the wonderful venue of Sibanye Academy in Western Area. So this platform is by the youth, for the youth, to benefit, for the benefit of SA in our future. It is for the youth to share their views, thoughts, and comments on current issues facing our country. And of course, for current leaders to communicate more effectively their messages to the youth, an initiative sponsored by Sibanye. So I'd like to read the disclaimer right before we start with the show. So the views and opinions expressed by the persons participating in the Leadership Platform hosted by Cliff Central are those of the individual participants and not necessarily represent the opinions or the views of Sibanye Gold Limited. Sibanye is not liable for any damages, loss, or liability of whatsoever nature and however arising. So kicking off the show, I have co-panelists with me, and we're going to have them introduce themselves, and we're going to start the conversation from that standpoint.
I'm Louis Groenewald. They call me the old man. I'm a founding partner of this platform and been involved many years with building the potential of leaders and specifically youth as well.
I'm Thulan Malambule. I'm currently doing a mining intern at Sibanye Gold. Thank you.
I'm Tabsile Puma. I'm the Senior Vice President of Communication and Stakeholder Engagement for Sibanye.
My name is Linda Nyati. I'm a Sibanye intern, qualified environmental geochemist, and co-owner of Eagle Eye Media and part of the Awesome Band.
So, we'll get on right onto it, right? So the topic today, or rather the structure or the backbone of our conversation today, is about building or participating in building the economy, right? And we'd like to start off by talking the state of the economy in South Africa. What's the state of the economy in South Africa right now? Let's start from there and build a conversation from there. We can have Thulani start, and we can have Thabisile and the rest to join in there.
At the moment, I think like the economy like of the country is not in a good state. We can see that like South Africa is not doing well in terms of economy, like high employment rates, together with like the productivity of the mining industries, like the rent is down in such a way that like the mining companies are not hiring. Also, when we look at the rate of unemployment again, the youth, like you find they have degrees like from the academic institution, but they are still unemployed. For example, I did geology, but I found it very difficult to find employment. Then I ended up switching to mining engineering for better opportunities. So the economy of the country is not performing well at the current state.
Thank you. I mean, if the smart people tell us we are in a technical recession, so definitely that means our economy is not doing very well. And I'm sure you've seen a lot of other industries considering shedding jobs in an economy that is already not creating jobs. And for me, for the benefit of our discussion today, I'm worried about the state of the economy on the basis of the lack of participation of young people, high unemployment rate amongst young people. So I cannot believe unless or until we can deal with the issue of ensuring that youth participate meaningfully in the economy, but they've also got the right skills to be able to do that. I think we can then only talk about a sustainable and a healthy economy into the future.
The word economy, if you want to describe it at the current state, the first word you say is probably ish. It is at that point. However, if we look at just the numbers, it is really bad. And also, the way we describe the economy, it does help to actually redefine it and look at the people. And in South Africa, even that side of it is still not doing very well. Hmm. And I'm hoping that we can unpack more of that today.
Let's hear from Louis.
There are different ways of looking at the economy. Speaking as a experienced old man, the economy is what we normally speak about, that which generates income, revenue. But the other aspect of the economy is the people element. And people make no mistake, what Tabi said here is vitally important. The days that we can rely on governments and even employers fully are past. We have to learn to take personal accountability for our lives. And youth, you excite me when I speak personally to you, but you must understand your future is as bright as your confidence in your own ability to make things happen.
Very, very wise from a very wise man. Would like everyone to come and participate as we ask questions, to be part of the conversation as well, and to make your contributions and also ask your own questions relative to the topic that we have today. So where are we going wrong? What's the problem? Why are we where we are today?
Quickly to take a stab at that one, I think the biggest issue is the people aspect. It's easier to just look at the numbers, look at the market, look at the stock exchange and everything. Where we seem to go wrong as a country is that we're not investing a lot in our young people, education-wise. And they are basically what the economy is. Because if we as young people are not educated enough to be innovative, the economy will never, ever flourish in this country. So that is where we got it wrong, firstly.
I think from my perspective, our fiscal policies, firstly, that's what's gotten us where we are. But secondly, okay, over-reliance on traditional economic activities. I mean, you look at mining, which was one of the biggest sectors. Mining is a finite business. And therefore, that over-reliance has actually kind of gotten us where we are. And for me, the biggest problem is we haven't really created a skills base that is geared to create other industries. I mean, if you look at other countries, they've used their skills to reinvent themselves and create other industries that can sustain them into the future. So I believe as a country, there is not a lot of flexibility to be able to move into other sectors that can take the economy forward. So there's talk of the new reindustrialization. The question is, reindustrialization in what aspects when you actually don't have the skills to create? The last aspect for me, and that talks to youth, the over-reliance on jobs is also what is problematic here. We need to have a lot of young people aspiring to create jobs and own sectors. If we look at the Silicon Valley in the U.S. a couple of years ago, a group of young people in the U.S. created a new sector. And right now we are trading on online, social media and all of that because the young people of then did not want to rely on automotive industry to create an economy. So the challenge is, what are the youth doing? But do we have the right skills to be able to catalyze the new industries that can take our economy forward?
We have a gentleman that has joined us. Would you kindly introduce yourself and state your... Or speak your mind, rather.
Hi, how are you? Right, my name is Tabukhamarama. I'm currently an intern here at Sibanye, graduated with BSc Mining. The reason we're in this state right now, we can blame the education system, right? Right, when we're looking at the education system, at school, when you are being taught, the first thing that they tell you is like, we are teaching you to actually be great managers of a certain company. You know what I mean? We are teaching you to be good at your job. they never actually teach you on how to go beyond being an employee. You understand where I'm going? And all the time when you are at school and you start saying like, why don't we talk about businesses? Why don't we talk about how can we get an African child to actually look beyond being an employer, an employee? They tell you like, in this state, right, it's already a bit late for you okay, let me put it this way. For an African child, mm-hmm. right, the system manipulates you. It pushes you to actually know that you must go to work. And when you go to work, they give you enough salary to actually sustain their life. Like what they do, they give you salary to go to work, pay your debts, have a bit of entertainment. Now you're out of salary, you must go back to work. So the cycle is the same. You can never escape the work cycle. The system is the same. You get paid, you spend it, you go back to work and start working for them. But if you actually look at it in a different perspective, I'm just going to make a few examples. From the university, wait, do I have time limit on what I'm...
Well, you can state your examples or one of them.
Okay, let me state one. I have, from the university, I have friends of different races, right? We've got the Africans, the Europeans and all that, right? When I talk to my white friends, the first thing that I say is like, when I work, I have to cover my black tax. They don't know what's a black tax. You know what I mean? They don't. And when I talk to them, I'm like, guys, I need to work hard so that I can actually be a manager. But if you listen to them talk, they be like, no, I can't work for that long. I just need to work for 5 years and I'm out. I need to venture to different things. I have a father who owns a farm. I have a father who owns this and that. They're teaching me how to get into the family business. At school, I'm just here for qualifications. You understand? So if we can change the education system of South Africa first, now there's a new law that they're trying to implement that mathematics is no longer compulsory. You understand? Such things is not things that we need. How about they make business a compulsory subject in schools? Then let's start with our kids from a young age. Don't ask them like, you know, for you to actually make it be a doctor, you have to be a lawyer. Scratch that. No. No, we don't want that in our kids. Tell them that actually there's a lot of land in South Africa. Try to go into agriculture. Try to go into property. You know, there are a lot of things that you can explore, but our African kids don't actually get exposed to such things. Mm. For you to actually start doing these things, you must go to internet and investigate. You must have your white friends and listen to them when they talk like, no, my guy, do not go into working. Don't look into working. How about, you know, my father has 1, 2, 3. He has told me 1, 2, 3. Then you're like, oh, there's actually such an opportunity out there. Mm-hmm. Why don't we look into that?
I'm gonna have to cut you. No.
I get emotional.
No, I'm gonna have to cut you there.
Okay,
because we would like to hear what also other people have to say on this matter. But we do really appreciate that narrative as part of this conversation. So we'll have another gentle lady to join in the discussion.
Thank you. My name is Mapaseka Mbele. I'm an intern in Sibanye, an engineering student. I just have food for thought, not a question, but just something that we need to think about. I was born, bred, raised in Carletonville. It's a mining town, and my dad worked for this company for like 35 years, and he quit, he went on retirement. The only way I was raised was to work at the mine. I was never raised to think outside the mine. The only way you can think is, what am I going to do at the mine? Okay, I don't want to do this and that. I channeled my life into this route, the mining route, which is a mining qualification. Hence, I ended up in the mine. So, as a person who grew up in a mining town, I would like to challenge the education system of the mining towns to say, what are you teaching your kids from a grassroots level? Are you saying to your kids, this is all you have, there's nothing beyond this? Can you offer you skills outside, portable skills, in terms of young business development, like enriching our young youth, developing them and saying, guys, this is not it. There's actually something beyond the mine. You can actually think beyond being a geologist. You can actually think beyond being an engineer. You can actually be a CEO. Have you ever thought about that? You know, at grassroots level, like trying to groom our young youth who are currently developing, because I've seen this, I've lived this, I'm still living it, and I'm not going to die there. Mm. Yeah, that's one thing for sure. So I would like to challenge and give them the mining town, mining areas, and other areas to say, us as the citizens of this country, can we groom our young people and career challenge them into something beyond being an employee? Thank you.
Mm. All right. So, you know, from what we're gathering is as a lot about what the leaders should be doing. And I'm going to challenge the youngsters now to also come up with solutions. Tell us, what can the youngsters do to remedy the situation? Because we can hold the leadership to accountability, to account for the system, as it was called by the previous speakers. But what are the young people doing themselves to change the lifestyle, to change the way things are done around here? But I'll give Thabisile to speak before we get into that.
Thank you so much. I think this is the first of hopefully the many conversations that will take place outside of this environment, because it is important that you are a geologist or you're a mining engineer. But yes, you will give us what, 5-6 years of your life, but there's nothing that stops you from creating a firm that can provide services to the mine. So it's that level of creativity that needs to come out of young people. Same with doctors. We need doctors, but don't want to be a doctor only at Barra. Be a doctor that sets up your own practice. And unfortunately, in my time, we used to call it guidance. I'm told these days it's called LO. The conversations that were supposed to take place there were such that they needed to get you to see the world beyond what you see. And you guys have got more access to information. I mean, you no longer need to be told by us or by your parents. You have social media, you know, and let me be an adult here and say, instead of posting pictures of yourself at the zoo, research about what is available out there, so that your conversations on social media, as you reach the age where you're just about to work, are much more fulfilled. Because to set up a business, you've got to start in an industry. Understand it so that you can capture it. And I don't think it is the them who's creating it for you. There is a culture within our young people where we are waiting for somebody to create it for you. Unfortunately, some of the sectors have not risen up to the equation. Does that therefore mean you are going to wait forever? Or you are going to take the challenge like the youth of 1976, and I'm not saying run to the streets, but recreate a different narrative. You go to the US, half of the people who started the computer companies didn't even finish matric. So they didn't even have half of what you have, but they had the foresight to change their own narrative. The last aspect I want to talk about is black techs. Guys, that is our reality as communities. But for as long as we want to become employees, and not all of us are going to become entrepreneurs, we are never going to get out of it. Because can you imagine the situation where you create employment even on those people who are relying on black techs for you? Because I personally believe it is a blessing to be given a responsibility of black techs. Because you are that one person in your family who's got the gift to be able to change the narrative. But if you are going to be paying them a salary to stay at home and feed off you, then you are not responding to black techs accordingly. Your black techs must take other people in your family to school so that they can get off your shoulders and begin to change the generation. I just think all of that succumb to it. Some of us are not able to tell our parents the truth when we can't afford it. And therefore, we keep our uncles on the payroll. So I guess we also need to change the narrative around black tax. It's not a prison, it's a blessing. But the only way you can unlock it is by changing the game of paying black tax. Paying it into perpetuity is not the answer. Take them to school so that afterwards they don't rely on you. Let them work in your home instead of you hiring a helper. You will see they will soon change their tactic.
That's a very powerful point. Someone else wants to have a take, yes?
Just to, I don't know, bring some light into that. Especially with Marema, he knows he's my neighbor. We're basically in the same boat as interns and so forth. However, and I also have a lot of black tax. I brought a bit of it with me in the form of my brother. however, when I graduated, before even the first day at work, I told myself that if I met Sibanye for more than 5 years, then clearly I failed. I told myself I will not work for more than 5 years. And currently what we are doing, just to answer also your question, Bonganon, what we are doing on our part, is that right now we started a company and had to pay tax. That was a bit harsh, but yeah. And also at Springs, Guatemala, we starting some initiative whereby we're having some of the kids playing these instruments with them and inviting some of our colleagues and our mentors as well to get there so that they can shed some light that there's more to life than just that one stream of being an engineer. You can be an engineer in different fields. You can be an innovator within that field. You can go to the arts. So that is part of what we're doing. And also locally with Lichelle, we're looking to start something with along the lines of reading and writing skills. The whole point of that is that the kids at a young age understand that as I am, I can do something for myself. And when I do that, I'll be able to unlock doors that are seemingly locked or unattainable at the moment. So there's a lot we can do. And I'm sure most of my colleagues know that we're basically in the same boat. But the mindset maybe needs to change, as Mr. Abside said, from what can they do for us to what can we do and take it to them and say, we've done this. Now come on, meet us halfway at least.
You know, to kind of build on the sentiment that Tabsile started, so as to say, you know, with a lot of people, they want to jump and be a Steve Jobs. They want to jump and be a Bill Gates. At one point in time, Steve Jobs sat behind a desk and Steve Jobs took orders from somebody else and he understood the industry. He was not the first one to create a keyboard, as they would put it in movies. There were companies like Xerox, there were companies like IBM that were doing things. When you start working or when you start getting a degree or any form of education whatsoever, that just gives you a platform to understand something. And then from there, you can take it to a point of independence. But you are rising on a solution that the youth can participate and do something to change the system, as they call it. So what are some of the things that the youth can be able to do?
My name is Mzwandile. I'm part of the community. We are about to start an initiative that is called Tusa Mocha, which is one of the initiatives that are going to bring youth solutions to youth problems. The problem is that our rhetoric is problem-based. Our rhetoric is not solution-based. Every time when we speak about the economy and the youth, what we always echo is the problems that we face. We never echo the solutions that are within the economy. Okay, what Tabisile was saying was that we need to understand that there's alternative economies, since the traditional economies or traditional industries are not functioning. What are the alternative? What is the alternative behind it? The solution that I have, that I've been going through, there's a new development that is called social entrepreneurship. As soon as the youth understand this concept, social entrepreneurship works like this. It is the only solution that I think, the only modern solution that I think, it's a solution for growing the economy and developing our communities. How? Social entrepreneurship seeks to create and innovate ideas that benefit both the community and grow the business profit.
What are some examples that directly of things that are happening or initiatives that are being run currently as we speak? And what kind of impact are they having? One example, so we can have more people and Build on the narrative.
The example is this. The business has to be purpose-driven. And when we say business, people think profit. As soon as we as the youth understand that if you start a business and it's purpose-driven, it is easier to succeed. When you have a purpose to serve and say, I want to change 1, 2, 3, then you can be able to achieve the vision or the goal that you have. Okay, the example that I could say is that I live in a community whereby people are struggling to access internet.
Okay.
As a social entrepreneur, I could say, I'd open an internet cafe. How will that benefit the community? People will be able to get access to the information within the internet. It would close the digital gap. The digital gap is the gap that people face. Those people who have access to community to information can easily get opportunities. It would close that. As a social entrepreneur, the community will benefit and I'd be able to make profit. So with that, it can grow.
Before the show, we had a conversation and you told me about a brilliant initiative going forward that you are currently embarking on with a couple of your friends. Tell us about that and tell us about the kind of impact that you want this initiative to have.
Okay. My friends and I, we realized that we're struggling. The community that we live in, it's a mine-based. A mining industry is a decaying industry. It's not continuous, nor is it sustainable. And they can mine. The next thing, the mine closes down because of the rocks have run out of minerals. However, we've opened a Tusamocha initiative that says we're going to teach the youth that there's alternative economies, and we're going to try to create kickstart at least 25 entrepreneurs. In that, we're trying to give 200 unemployed youth people an opportunity to acquire soft skills. And try to reach at least 2,000 youth individual with life skills campaigns.
So do you run workshops where the youth can come in and then you have some form of material that you impart to the youth so that they learn these important skills to tackle the entrepreneurship world?
Yeah, at this moment, the initiative is still on ground level. We're still looking for companies that would assist us through their CSI programs. So we do need computers to start training and so that we can have associations with accredited CETA departments so that if I train you with a computer, you get a computer certificate and you're unemployed, that certificate is accredited. That means if you're a person who employs you is able to see that it's certified and accredited, that you can easily be employable. And we will be running entrepreneurship. We usually have what we call career exhibitions. We want to start something that is called entrepreneur exhibition. We invite people who are well-made entrepreneurs who have able to achieve their own goals through entrepreneurship and to say, give these people ideas on how to tackle them. And we want to have something that we call a startup tool. That means if you are a youth person, we see your idea is feasible in our community, we can negotiate a startup tool for you that you can get a computer, an office, and a certain amount to be able to run it. Then we reassess your idea in the future to say, you've able to achieve your goals, you did not achieve your goals, this is how you can improve.
Hmm.
In the long run, if one entrepreneur can employ two people, how many people?
You've started something that can ripple.
Yeah, let's say I have 25 entrepreneurs. Each of them was able to employ two people within my community. It's 25 times two.
50. Yes. 50 youth people
were employed. From that, we would be able to create employment. Mm. And we want to also form associations with companies to have programs that are called work readiness program. A work readiness program is that we can invest in a company and say, we give you a certain amount of money, you contribute a certain amount of money, you take 5 of our youth and you put them in your program.
Mm-hmm.
And that means if, for example, you want a work readiness program in administration, you employ our youth for a 12-month work readiness program.
Mm-hmm.
They acquire that skill in your company. After that, they have an experience. They can go out and look for experience.
All right. So I'm going to quickly jump on to the next gentleman. And thank you for rising on that point. And all the best on your endeavors.
Thank you.
Hopefully, we can have a lot of entrepreneurs that think like that. You know, when you look at an apple, you only see 4 seeds. But you cannot begin to fathom how many seeds and trees can come from one seed of the 4 seeds that you can count after taking a bite of an apple. that's the ripple effects that we can all have by doing something.
Using the point, may I just comment on the gentleman to just say, look, we are finalizing a youth entrepreneurship toolkit, which we hope we can share with you guys so that you know how to start a business plan. We should be completing that fairly shortly, and things like job readiness, at least from a information perspective, as Sibanye, we would be able to provide that to you. So if you can connect with our team. The one aspect I need to just talk to, we've trained a lot of young people on portable skills, plumbing, you know, carpentry and all of that. What we are finding is they then go back home and wait to be employed. So we're hoping that you will be able to bring all of them together. You can imagine setting up a construction company because they're already trained. They don't need more training. Getting them together to clean up, to build houses in Becker style. If they are plumbers, getting them into a cooperative to unblock the sewers, to do tiling if they've done tiling. Because all the training, I believe, in this area has been done. The challenge is how do you bring all the young people, and I think we've had over 2,000 in the Vets who've been trained, but they don't have anybody to pull them together. So you are not starting from zero. And I'm hoping that those could be some of the people you target.
At Sibanye, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. We are proud of our partnership with the Leadership Platform and will continue to support leaders who are committed to growing our country. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Could you kindly introduce yourself and speak your mind?
My name is Tulani. I'm currently a law student. I'm from Bekkersdal. So I have a question, but I feel like this question has been asked, but I want to ask it again. But as a preamble to my question, Greater Western Area is a mining town, and mining is the main economic activity. My question is based on legacy. I hope somebody can answer that, or we can all answer the question, that the legacy that these mines are going to leave behind. I was surrounded by four or more mines, and then as I was traveling around South Africa, I've seen mining towns that are more developed than Westrand or Greater Western Area. It is appalling what you see in Bekkersdal. We do not look like a mining town. So my question is that what is it that is being done to leave a legacy behind that will ensure that there's a secondary economic activity that will create jobs? Because we do not know the lifespan of the mines. As soon as the mines are closed, Greater Western Area is going to be a ghost town. And it is a melting pot for all nations. People come here as migrant workers, and some of the people, they call it a home. They won't be a place to go. Some people will leave, and those who will be left behind, what legacy will they be left with? What is happening to make sure that there is a lasting legacy as your social responsibility as a mining institute or as a stakeholder in a community? Legacy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So it's a very, very good question.
Thank you so much. I think it is important to acknowledge that we've all learned as current mining companies from what we refer to as ghost town. So as Sibanye, we have what we call a social closure strategy that will ensure that when we leave this area, even the infrastructure that we leave can be best utilized by the community. But I think one of the other things that we are beginning to do in recognition of our social closure strategy, we are working together with relevant stakeholders to try to create an alternative economy. In the West Rand in particular, discussions we've had with municipality and other structures of government is agriculture is one of the most viable economic activities. And we've piloted some with some success and with a lot of learning. So we will be injecting quite a lot of our activities in agriculture. But we've also in the process of finalizing setting up a construction hub in this area, which also will be a third stream second stream of the alternative economy. So I'm hopeful that with agriculture and areas around what we've started setting up as the construction hub, we'll be able to re-energize the other economic streams. For those who don't know why agriculture is important, the West Rand apparently used to provide most of the food for the country. So it only makes sense that with the tranches of land that we've got available, that we reignite the agriculture sector. So to ensure that there's social closure, those will be the two activities we get in. We are hoping that communities will also partner with us, because some of the projects that are not successful sometimes is because of either lack of understanding and or lack of support from the communities within which we operate. We are getting a bit of traction, and we hope that we will continue to work together in these two alternative streams that we are talking to. And lastly, I think the skills that we are developing, that is important. I mean, last year alone, we spent around, and this year, 80 million on skills from a range of bursaries, maths and science. We want to also be able to create people from these areas who can go and contribute in other areas in the country. I'm originally from the East Rand, yet I'm participating in economic activities in the city of Johannesburg, and I've done that in the Northwest. I've done that in Limpopo. So we want to be able to create the skills that can make you importable into other sectors of the economy and into other regions. Because you are quite right, mining is the main source of employment, but when it stops to become that, you can go become a technical person in Eskom, because there'll always be electricity. So that is why we are investing in bursaries, technical training, portable skills. We want companies of plumbers to come from here and go supply Soweto. But that is not happening, because as soon as people get trained, they think this is where they should live and they should die. And I think we need to change that mindset.
You know, in what are the things that Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote on self-reliance? And the American scholar was that the preacher becomes the Bible, the sailor, the rope. And he was giving these examples, trying to help people think that whatever industry that you enter and whatever that you do in life and whatever form of education that you get, it shouldn't be everything that you are. Like you can be a diversified person and you can be able to tackle anything and not be particularly something that life requires you at that particular point in time and stick to that. So I think you can feel free to challenge me on this, and we can have a debate, because I think someone said that a good conversation is not when people sit in a room and they have one idea and one flowing conversation. If a person can sit next to another one and they can have, you know, a debate, and they walk out of there with different ideas, now that's a conversation. If people from communities such as these, if you have that mining degree, if you have that mining qualification, and be able still to get a PR something, get an MBA, get something that will help you to function and operate in industries other than the mining industry as well, we need to take that responsibility to do that and not rely on someone to create always waiting for the guys to create. Sometimes we need to approach them and get the resources from them.
Okay, my name is Khotso Mpapa, and I have JCE level from University of Cambridge under the platform of Bleswa, which is Lesotho, Swaziland, and Botswana. And I want to add up to what the first speaker has just said about education, which is miseducation that we get as a young youth, both from school and home. The only thing that they will tell us is that go to school, get a better education, get a better job, you'll live a better life. And there is a one part they are missing there. You must go to school, you must get a better job, you must get a better education, you must create a better job, and we will live a better life. And one thing about the better education is that from home and from school, as we get jobs, we get the better education, we get jobs, we will buy liabilities, and thinking is an asset. There is a difference between asset and liability. And a liability is something that is taking money from your pocket. An asset is something which is bringing money inside your pocket. And we must take activities from Kasi, like our communities, like sports. It's where we'll engage as a young youth. But the only time we get engaged is when we are partying. When I go nothing, it's the only time we get engaged. So if we can take part in activities like sport, we can see our strengths, we can see our weaknesses there.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that. You wanted to say something before we move to somebody else?
Just one last thing. Oh, not one last thing, but another thing that comes up here is that most of the time we have that narrative that someone should create something for us.
Yes.
And at first, what question that we need to ask ourselves is how much are you investing in yourself in terms of time? How much of your time are you investing to take you to a certain point? Or are you waiting for Type C to say, during this day, do that? When you can just invest time and do something for yourself. And secondly, how much of that little salary that you get goes towards funding your own goals? It may not be worth enough to get you the MBA, but it's going to be enough to get you to that seminar where you're going to meet someone who's going to introduce you to someone else. So we need to invest in ourselves before someone else can invest in us.
A lot of companies started in a garage. All they had was a cell phone that they needed to pump in airtime into, and started calling different people and convincing them that they were the people to do business with. Today they've got 800 million caps to their names and thousands of employees.
So to add on, like on what Tabile said, it's also good to go to grade 9 students. We target like youth, for example. We tell them like to focus on scarce careers like boiler making, electricity rigging, because those are also scarce skills. They are not required only by the mining industry, but almost all fields they need those scarce skills. And you tell them that to choose the right subjects like mathematics and physical sciences. By the time they're going to grade 10, they know which subject to choose.
And it's only fitting that we include a point on leadership. How, you know, a lot of youngsters have the information, they have some resources, but some lack some form of training in terms of leadership to be able to initiate some of the things that they want to initiate. And I want to rope in Louis on this one to speak a bit about the importance of leadership.
To us, leadership, the definition has changed considerably. Everybody has the kind of pet definition of leadership. To us, it's changed because of all our contact with quality people out there. And leadership is that part in each of you that enables you to do the things we spoke and we're speaking about today. That part of you that can be innovative, creative, fearless, has courage, etc. People, I don't see much hope in the future of the youth if they don't catch the vision of who and what they are. Youth can have a tremendous influence on the political and social leaders around you if you exert them your passion that you will not stand for corruption, that you not stand for the fact that a lot of political speak and the people don't show by example the things they speak about. So leadership is that part of you sitting here today that really can move things. I was speaking to Toby, and there's a real problem that leaders don't tell the youth what really matters. What I'm getting at here is Tabisila's got a very high-level position. She's a leader, a prominent one, but you know, and she's got some good qualifications. But what got her there and what is sustaining her now are the attributes we spoke about here today. It is the courage, the value system, the tenacity, the openness, the integrity. Make no mistake. So when you think of yourself, make sure you understand that the most important part of you is those attributes. For instance, you can influence our leaders far more. Right now we've got this negative message around. The economy is bad, yes, but this is a great country. When Sibanye started off, people, the experts around us, and we meet with them, were saying they're going to fail. You can't go invest all this energy and passion in a failing industry. And now they've become the biggest mining company in the country, not so WC. How many people do you employ? 60,000. Last time I spoke, it was 60. 70,000 people. Now, what I'm saying is our mindset with the leaders here does make a difference. We can change around many failing industries, so-called, if we have a mindset. So please, people, that's your most important attribute, is that leadership part of you. In a real sense, your careers are very important, but your first profession should be the leadership part of you, that which drives you to do the impossible. Please, never forget that. Invest yourself, yes. If you don't, you're going to blame, you're going to expect entitlement, you expect other people to do it for you. Invest in yourself. That part of you, that each of this lady sitting here, the background as well, she's a fighter, and she's got where she is by not just the qualifications, but by the fighting ability, the tenacity to never give up as well. Thank you.
So never stop feeding the leader in you and harnessing that and honing on that and developing yourself as a person, because that plays out to everything else that you do as a person. Introduce yourself and what point are you rising on?
My name is Simpiwe Joshua. I represent the community of Burgerstile. I would like to touch on the youth in the community development process. However, the youth are playing an increasingly important role in the development of their communities. As nonprofits, volunteer groups, youth programs, and non-governmental organizations that are on larger roles in contributing to local well-being, the active collaboration between youth and adult is vital to the long-term success of development efforts. So, as the programmer and policy planner, you need to assist youth in becoming leaders and active participants within their community. So the point that I'm trying to make is that involve youth in confronting more severe social problems. This will allow them to see themselves as community development agents capable of transforming their environments. Let the youth know the importance their contributions while providing opportunities that build community attachments in order to create a better community in which they live. And on the second point I'm trying to make is that engage youth actively. Youth provide new ideas and voices that will stimulate enthusiasm and investment in community structures.
So we should give the youth a seat at the adult table in a sense. And youth that participates in their communities by starting NGOs and NPOs help to remedy a lot of things in their communities and builds leaders of them as well.
True. Because in the community where I'm from, I know as the world, I think that the youth is lazy. Okay. That's what they say. They say, okay, you get matric, you graduate, mm-hmm. and then you sit down. You're mm-hmm. waiting for the big company to approach you and give you the opportunity of a certain job. Why do you have to stand up for yourself? Every morning I see the youth is grinding, is hustling. Mm-hmm. They're thirsty for success. If it was easy, there wouldn't be no Steve Jobs. If it was easy, there wouldn't be Benny McCarthy. If it was easy, there wouldn't be AKA. If it was easy, there wouldn't be no you. Mm-hmm. So again, if it was easy, we wouldn't have been sitting here on this leadership platform.
So start something and acknowledge that there will be challenges along the way and be strong enough to stomach the challenges that come along the way. Well, sure. I'm going to have to cut you there to allow for more questions and comments from the floor. But we're going to switch things up a bit now. We want to talk a bit more into now youth taking part in leadership conversations and becoming part of political parties and becoming part in politics in South Africa, because we know that those influence a lot what goes on in our economy. We look at the conduct of our current president. At some point when certain things happen, reshuffling, there's you know, the rand takes a tumble. And so we want to know about youth taking part in politics and the importance of that. So you can introduce yourself and speak your mind as well.
My name is Mandla Henrik. I'm a mining engineering intern here at Sibanye. So what I wanted to add is from the first speaker, he talked about the quality of education. Okay. So that's what I want to stress on. You know, when I look at Africa, the whole of it compared to the rest of the world, it's lagging behind in terms of the progress of science. And I'll support my statement why I say so. You know, we have science laureates in African history, and South Africa, I'm glad, is part of it. It's like we are on the map there. But then the problem is that they had to advance their education overseas in order to achieve such a milestone. Yes. And then we have this gentleman. He is very old. I'm not sure whether he's still alive or not. He was born in the 1920s. He invented the X-ray scan that we use at the hospitals. And he's from here in South Africa. So then he had to go to America in order for him to be able to do so. Like, he was equipped enough to be able to invent that thing. And he got a Nobel Prize for it. So then when I ask myself, how many hospitals around the world have the X-ray scan? It's a lot of them. And then how many people are employed to operate those machines? You know, those are the kind of things that I don't see enough in Africa. People are not interested in science. It's very few of us who are really want to do something. But the quality of education is so low that even if after university, it's like you don't feel equipped enough to invent something compared to, let's say, when you look at Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. Those guys were equipped enough, like from their high school education, you know, to invent our Facebook, our Windows, and all those things because of the quality of education that side. So then coming back to South Africa, I think as well our government is not doing enough in order to let the youth or perhaps people of South Africa get interested into science. What we see a lot of is, you know, politics, especially around national holidays. You see, like, you get these buses arranged in order to get people to where the main event is, you know, discussing about the importance of that particular day. Whereas when you look at like countries like America, you know, like, they have science seminars, science conventions, they have full-time radio shows that are dedicated to science, yeah. You know, TV shows. You know, those kind of things attract the clever people that generate, that will eventually, you know, invent something out of it. Because now science has been the most efficient economic driver in history. Nothing else.
To drive innovation, I'm going to have to cut you short there. But thank you very much for your contribution. Because of time, we're just going to allow for closing remarks from members of the panel. And so we'll start with Thabisile, and then we'll hear from Louis and then Thulani.
Okay, thank you. Firstly, I'd like to thank the youth that have participated here today. We appreciate your time. But I'm hopeful that as Sibanye, this is just a catalyst for the many conversations that you should have elsewhere that advance your course. I think in my language, and somebody who knows English properly will have to translate, I've got two things that you must uvukuzenzele. You know, that's what the other people have done in history. But also, lastly, uzoyithola kanjani mawuhlezi ekhoneni. And I think a lot of you are sitting in the corner waiting for somebody to sort you out.
Okay, I think as youth, like, we need to come up with strategies and policies that are going to make it easier for us to create capital and be able to compete in the market. For example, let's say one person starts a business. You come up with ideas, then you find that you have great ideas, business, great business plans, but you find out that like you don't have enough funding. So if government can intervene, maybe for example, he says, I have 100,000, you don't have to add anything. If your business plan is good, you just pay nothing. Then you end up not coming with initial capital.
Okay, I'm gonna have to close it there. Sorry for that. Thank you everyone for your participation to all those in the panel for this discussion. Hopefully, we will be able to have more of these discussions because there's a lot that we would have loved to tap into, but we couldn't because of time. And this Leadership Masterclass was brought to you by Sibanye. We are one from Bongani Tau and the Leadership Platform team. We are out for this week. Thank you and God bless.
At Sibanye, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. We are proud of our partnership with the Leadership Platform and will continue to support leaders who are committed to growing our country.
Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Cliffcentral.com.